BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here is Thursday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. We hear the latest from James on the train. But was the girl of his dreams on his ride home last night? There's innuendo bingo fun with Tinchy Strider. And Chris has found a turkey hotline. It'd be rude not to give them a call, wouldn't it?
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Oh, hello, Christmas jumper.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah.
Do you like my Christmas jumper today?
It's good.
So,
it's got a dartboard on it.
It's Rudolph with a dartboard for a nose.
Sure.
It's very me.
I might have to break out the Christmas jumper quite soon, I think.
It's close, isn't it?
It's
I know
so
everyone
close.
Keeps saying it, but it's
a week.
It is starting to get exciting now. It is a week,
it's
yeah.
It's a week. So, on today's show, Tinchy Strider does innuendo bingo at 1:45. Right, you're jingling
I've
too much.
I've got a bell problem,
you really
I?
Have got a bell problem there.
Right, just maybe... Yeah, no,
don't do it more. I think that's going to have to come off,
that's going to have to go, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's like jingling all the way through the show.
Let's see how we get on.
Yeah, it's just become a bit distraction, I think. Jamie T is coming up. Also, the Vamps doing Jingle Bell Rock and Second City. Yes, we do have an update from James, the guy on the train today. He's been fancying this girl for about 2 months now, who is on his commute every morning on the way to work and every day on the way from. And
it's the story that's gripped the nation.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to say that.
We haven't got too far yet, because yesterday she wasn't on his train when we spoke to him. But was she on there last night? We'll find out with James a bit later on. Also, there's some new hotline that Chris wants to call Christmas-related. I don't understand what it is.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Right, Ryan's been on Twitter. Your bells on your jumper are making his dog jump up and shake her head because she doesn't like the sound.
It's really annoying you now, isn't it?
Could you either take that jumper off immediately or just don't move for the next 3 hours?
Or we can tape them down. Take the bells down. Is that weird? Because the jumper itself is quite nice. I'll take my bells down. I'll do it now.
You're going to tape them down?
I can do that now. Because we've got tape for a bit, innuendo bingo.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to look a little bit weird,
that's
but we
fine.
Can do that now.
Yeah, put some gaffer on that.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
How's that taping down the bell working for you?
Yeah, they're all taped down now for you, Mills.
Shake it. Oh, that's much better, isn't it? Because it was getting distracting. I've been doing a little bit of dancing today again.
Really? Back on... what do you mean?
On Strictly's for okay. The final.
So you're going to be on in the final?
Yeah, all the losers get to do a dance together.
So is that like the opening one, that, you know, on The X Factor, where they got back Blonde Electra and they kissed, and Katie Wasel and Stevie on a rocket, that kind of thing?
No, it's not quite like that, actually. Not the same.
Not the same.
When Wagner came back, you mean?
Yeah.
Not the same as that. No, it's just all the people that have been eliminated from the series, because it's the final on Saturday. Just this series.
So it flashes to you do a move.
Yeah, but it's not... I mean,
it better be what I want it to be.
I think you're getting confused, because the X Factor one is quite comedy, and this is actually quite a good routine. Pixie Lott's in it, do you know what I mean? It's not just like the really bad people.
It's not, and let's welcome back and point and laugh at...
No. Okay, so the crab is back on.
Oh, of course it is. Great. Well, that's all I wanted to know.
Is that what you wanted to hear?
That's good news.
Yeah. Pretty much all the way through the routine, actually. Something for you to look out for and point and laugh on Saturday night.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And here is man like Tinchy Strider.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello, man like Scott.
How are you? You right?
I'm good.
Do you know what? Because I've known you for such a long time, I was just watching you at home from a sofa, thinking he's doing well in that jungle, isn't he? You did so good.
Thank you very much. And I swear down, that was like the hardest, toughest, but most fun thing I've ever done, man.
What was harder than you thought?
What was harder than I thought? Having to just kind of smell Kendra every day. Like,
yeah. A bit fresh.
On a serious note, what was harder? I thought the food. I don't really eat much. Yeah. And then... having to just rice and beans. You get like 2 spoonfuls each meal, 2 meals a day. It was crazy hard, man.
Because sometimes I think when people watch it on TV, it's like, oh yeah, they must be feeding them.
Yeah,
really.
I don't believe it.
I went in there thinking there must be a day where they slip a little something, but you don't even get to see anyone. When they come and change your battery on your mic, they've all got like they're all like camouflaged. They've got their tapes on their watches. You can't see the time or the date. They don't say one word to you. They just point, like, go back.
Really?
It's crazy, yeah.
They don't even talk to you?
They don't speak to you. No. So you only speak to the other campmates. That's so, it.
And the only other people you speak to is out on deck when they come in?
Yeah, man like Dick, when they come when they come in, they're like, they speak to you for, like, the quick time they're there and then they're gone. And then you see them when you do a trial and they tell you what you're going to do and that's about that.
Are you glad you did it, though?
Yeah, I'm really glad I did it. It's helped me grow as a person. I kind of understand the word appreciation much more now, and I don't take nothing for granted anymore, because we were scraping every tin, the tins for grains of rice.
No.
I ain't wasting no food no more these days, man.
Do you feel this has been like, you know how people go on gap years?
Yeah.
Things like that. Did you feel like you went out there and found yourself?
I feel like I went out there and found myself and helped others find themselves as well. It was a bit of both. I found myself as in, I just reassured myself. Like, sometimes you have doubts thinking, okay, can I do this? But I realised I'm calm.
Please tell me you're still in touch with Michael Burke.
Oh, yeah.
This is the best bromance ever.
Yeah. No,
it wasn't just for the cameras.
Nah, when you're in there, you kind of forget the cameras are on. It's on 24/7, so you kind of forget you're just living and don't know what's going to get shown or not. And you don't know one thing that's being shown until you come out. So we done our rap and thinking, okay, he's like, Tinch, I want some lessons. I'm like, Sir Mike Jones, like, journalist, I'm a rapper. How are we meeting halfway? But somehow we bromance, yeah.
So it's still on, you still meet up?
Yeah, we're definitely, he's away right now, because when he came out, he went away with his family. Okay. He'll be back and we're going to catch up.
Potential collaboration?
You'd want to be a fly in the wall for that first meeting back after the jungle.
Yeah, do you know what? Tell you, when I was in there, I kept talking about I love strawberries. And when I came out, I got to my hotel and then Sir Mike came, knock, I opened it. Like I said, I got something for you. I opened it, it's loads of strawberries. Like, yo, so he's a good guy, man. Super cool. Super cool.
You're onto something there, Scott. I like the idea that there's a TV show that follows those two. A bit like you did one similar, you know, where you went and lived in each other's place. Who did you do it with again?
David Hasselhoff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But I think it would be fascinating to follow these guys around for...
You and Michael Burke live together.
Yeah.
I mean, you would watch that.
Absolutely.
That's actually a good idea. Yeah.
Write that down.
Well, hang on, that was my idea.
Okay.
All right. Well, you write it down.
Well, I'll write it down and I'll contact
whoever. Tinchy's well up for it.
Right. I'm up for it. The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1. Tinchy's just shown me the most incredible tat on the arm. Tell us what that is, please.
That tattoo there is the date number one went to number one. And I've got another one on my fingers. You know when you write one, you do hashtag one?
Yeah.
So there's a hashtag on my...
Oh, yeah, so it is.
One.
I never noticed that before.
Yes.
All right, so Tinchy Strider is about to play Innuendo Bingo. If you want to get online, we are at bbc.co.uk/radio1. Cameras are on. Let's get it wet.
It's time to make another celebrity wet. This is Innuendo Bingo.
Yeah. Need to climatise a bit, you know?
The thing is, Tinch, after this... I mean, this is nothing compared to what happened in the jungle, do you know what I mean? You're going to sail through this. It's going to be absolutely fine.
Okay,
so basically the rules are you will hear different bits of innuendo, something that sounds a bit rude but probably isn't, from various TV and radio shows. Obviously, you put quite a lot of water in your mouth, so fill your cheeks as much as you can. If you find something funny, obviously the water will spill out. Don't use the bin, use this face. And also, if you feel the water coming out, don't put your hands up. There is a no hands rule.
Oh, wow. Right.
If it's going to flood out, just let it out.
Okay, so basically, I'm just aiming for his face.
Him,
generally.
Oh, him.
Okay. I loved it. When he first turned up, he was like, so let me get this right, 10 minutes of spitting.
That's all it is.
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll drink some now, okay.
So fill your cheeks.
You're overthinking it, I fear.
Yeah, it's all right. You'll get into it. Like, the first one is the coldest, just to let you know. No hands, Tinchy. We're starting with Mary and Paul from one of those many festive bake-offs that they have at this time of year. It's the Great British Bake Off Christmas Masterclass. And while Paul got all he wanted this year, it sounds like Mary's had a bit of festive disappointment. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, it's good, isn't it? Mm. I was expecting it to be harder.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Mary.
Right.
Whoa. Okay.
Tinchy, right. You've gone in already.
Yeah, it's really good.
My bad.
In.
That was a low shot there.
No, no, don't worry. That's the no, no, don't that's okay. Apologize.
That's my game tactic.
That, yeah, I mean, this is the game, you know.
I'm not really sorry.
No need to be. No needs to be a gent about this.
I was expecting it to be harder.
Thank you, Mary Berry. Now we're going over to BBC Radio 2. And we join the handover between Ken Bruce and Jeremy Vine. Got your water in your mouth? Mm-hmm. Here we go. Fill your cheeks. Now, as we all know, the Radio 1 studios are covered in cameras. You can see absolutely everything. Thankfully, there aren't so many over at Radio 2 just yet.
Sat there coughing and spluttering yeah. with your decorations.
You have this effect on me.
With your baubles hanging in full sight.
Oh, well held. Think about it, Ken Bruce.
With your baubles hanging in full sight.
Thank you, David, for spotting that one.
Well held, Tinchy.
Very well held. Okay, right. Loads of water, please. Let's up this. And a classic from Match of the Day now. I'm not sure Ian Holloway will thank the commentator for drawing everyone's attention to this slight problem of his.
Swansea City take their second win of the Premier League season. And Ian Holloway, he has a huge job on.
It's a good one.
Here's a good one. Okay. Ian Holloway there.
He has a huge job on.
We're on.
We're on now. After a slow start. Okay. Tinch. Right.
Bad Sorry. Move, Tinch. You're about to get it.
Yeah. My bad.
Okay, and now over to this week's Great Continental Railway Journeys on BBC Two. And Michael Portillo is settling into a new city with his Bradshaws in hand. Now, I wonder what it was that made Michael choose this particular hotel.
An advertisement in my Bradshaw's guide has brought me to spend the night at the Grand Hotel du Nord Pinus.
I thought the jungle was bad.
Quite wet now, aren't you?
Yeah. All right.
Michael Portillo there.
Grand Hotel du Nord Pinus.
The Grand Hotel... Let me say it. Let me try. The Grand Hotel du Nord Pinus. We've looked up, and it translates as the large hotel in the north of Pinus. Yeah. Pinus, of course, is an area in the city of Arles.
Oh, okay.
So there you are. Mark in Hemel Hempstead emailed that one. If you've got any for Inuit a Bingo... Send them in, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Tell us what show, what they said and what time. OK, we're staying on BBC Two now for our next one, Water Please, and it's Alex Polizzi's Christmas Fixer. And here's Alex proving that she really can fix any problem, even if she has to ask a friend for advice.
These are quite big flaps. Would you fold them over?
Yeah. A great little tip is to bring the sort of flap part up here, right at the middle of that little V.
What good instructions.
Whoa. Oh,
no. Thank you, Julia, and also Tom from Bushy for spotting that one. What do you mean, oh no?
Sorry, I've got a hole in these jeans and it's really leaking through now.
These are quite big flaps. Would you fold them over?
Yeah. A great little tip is to bring the sort of flap part up here, right at the middle of that little V.
I'm going to write that down. More water, please.
Right then.
And... Now a classic from this morning on ITV. And after some rumours started going around the office, Philip Schofield has to make this statement to clear things up.
I have never gone to sleep with it in my hands.
no hands. Well held there, Strider. Philip denying that he falls asleep while on his smartphone there, of course.
I have never gone to sleep with it in my hands.
Meanwhile, over on The One Show... From Tuesday, our next clip is where Jules Holland was their guest. Water, please. Loads of it. It sounds like Jules' New Year's Eve show is going to be absolutely unmissable television this year.
Obviously, Jules, we're all looking forward to the hootenanny. Who's helping you bring in the New Year?
Well, we're sort of getting ready now. Paolo Nutini is going to come.
Oh, great.
I think Paloma Faith is going to come. Joss Stone is going to come.
Oh.
Dawn French, I hope, is going to come.
Oh.
Whoa!
Thanks, Jack, for that one.
Okay.
What a busy New Year's Eve.
Joss Stone is going to come. Dawn French, I hope, is going to come.
Joss Stone.
Yeah. A lot of people.
A lot of people.
Loads of people.
Okay, more water. More water, please. Meanwhile, over on the Archers, they're celebrating with a Christmas lunch. And David sounds like he's got a lot to be celebrating. David's been very busy.
And what about those dumplings?
Well, nowadays, I don't think I can manage that.
You had to go and spoil it, didn't you, Charlie? Oh, I see David's perked up. Must be what bagging 21 birds in a morning does for you.
Gentlemen, please.
David, on a very successful grouse shoot that morning.
Oh, right.
Mm. Well, must be what bagging 21 birds in a morning does for you.
Gentlemen, please.
Wow. Thank you, Jake and Gwent, for that slightly weird one. And, finally, water, please.
Right, come on, TJ.
A wintry classic now from the Winter Olympics. Now, I was never very sure about the rules on curling, but I don't think this move... I don't think it's allowed.
An outturn draw from Christina Bertrup. She's just come right up and sat on the face of the Canadian.
Wow. Well, that was wet, wasn't it?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
There we are. What goes on in curling?
She's just come right up and sat on the face of the Canadian.
Mm. Thank you, Tinchy.
Thank you.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I got soaked.
Oh, you really did, but it was a good game.
Yeah, it was a good game. I needed a little shower after the jungle, man.
And you got it?
Yeah, I got it. BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily. So, James, the guy who likes to go on the train, update just after 2:30. Where are we at?
Why are people so excited about this? It's crazy. It's like everyone wants to know about it.
It's our own soap.
I mean, where we're up to is it all started because he, you know, fancied this girl that he saw on the train, but he just didn't really want to go up to her, and too much time had passed. But I mean, the last we heard, she wasn't on the train. I mean, it's really tricky because he's seen her every morning on his commute, every evening on the commute. But it's like she may have broken up for Christmas. We don't know what's going on.
Might be ill. So hopefully she was on the train last night on his commute home. Find out after 2:30. BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily. Yesterday we called up our friends at Dialer Carol at the University of Illinois and asked them to do Bumbaleo, not necessarily a Christmas song. And at first, the girl obviously had never heard of it before. This is a service where you can call up in America, and 24/7 at this time of year, they'll just sing you a carol, whatever you want. So I was like, can I have Bumbaleo, please? And this is what she first came up with.
Bumbaleo, Bumbaleo, porque mi vida yo la prefiero vivir así. Bumbaleo, Bumbaleo, porque mi vida yo la prefiero.
Then I told her she was doing it wrong. And then she came up with this, which is the right one.
Bamboleo, bamboleo, porque mi vida yo la prefiero vivir así.
Yes. We need to give them another call, I think.
Oh, I'd love that.
Maybe with an actual Christmas song this time.
Good idea.
We'll do that maybe tomorrow. And for everyone that's asking, we're going to get an update from James the train guy after 2:30 this afternoon. I'm dying to know what happened. Was she on that train? Or is she completely freaked out because she's heard it on Radio 1 and decided not to get the train anymore? Or is she off ill?
But a lot of people were saying yesterday was an anti-climax because basically yesterday was you know, she wasn't there.
Wasn't there. There's nothing we can do about it.
I mean, it could be much of the same.
I mean, if it was a soap opera and he wants us to make up the ending, that's fine. But this is real life. This is happening. So if she's not on the train, she's not on the train. The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1. So this guy, James, one of our listeners, really fancies this girl on the train on his commute. Can't talk to her. So he's been trying various schemes, like pretending to be asleep so she wakes him. That didn't work. And the latest idea, buy a cheap phone, drop it near her on the train, then run off, and hopefully she'll pick it up and run after him and go, it's your phone. Or she picks it up, he gets off the train, and then he rings it and goes, hey, you've got my phone. So let's see what's happened. Yesterday when we spoke to James, it had gone, well, pretty much as worse as it could possibly go, because the girl of his dreams was not on the train that she's always on his commute to and from work. Hello, James.
Hello, Scott.
How's it going?
I mean, I've been better.
I've seen better.
Oh, no.
So it's bad news. So our last resort was we were hoping that she might be on the train this morning
because she wasn't on it last night.
No.
You still had the brick phone that we told you to get.
Yeah.
The trick being that you drop the phone and then she either picks it up and runs after you, so you get talking that way, or you drop it in front of her on the train and then you call it afterwards and then she answers, and then that's another way of getting
off
to her.
Yeah.
So what happened on the train this morning, please?
On the train this morning, again, just no sign of her. I scoured the platform, I had a look, just nowhere to be seen.
This is so disappointing for me.
But you thought this girl was the one, didn't you? I mean, you thought you really, really liked this girl.
I mean, I thought we had a connection, but maybe it wasn't to be.
But James, so you were kind of sure this girl was the one, even though you never really managed to be able to talk to her because you're too shy, because you're a really shy guy, aren't you?
In this scenario, yes. Yes.
But...
Oh.
Bit of drama for you. James, we received an email to the show this week.
Oh,
Scott,
God.
Do you want to read the email that we got through to the show this week?
Oh, God. Dear Scott, I met the train guy last night. Really nice guy, but I think he may have lost all hope with his love on the train. I say this because I saw him at our Christmas do. He stole a kiss from a girl during the last song of the night. Thought you should know. Love you, bye. What's that about? Yes?
Yeah, well, I mean, as I say, that's more my area, office parties compared to
James
public
on
transport.
The train.
James?
James, why didn't you tell us about this?
Well, I don't know.
But what night was this, please?
This was Tuesday night.
Oh, but this is more your kind of area of expertise with the, the Christmas party.
Yeah.
Not as shy there, are you?
A few wines in and all that,
But there's me thinking that you've been massively unsuccessful this week. Just seems scandalous he didn't tell us and tell the nation what was going on.
James, you're a sneaky one.
I've been rumbled there.
Well, at least you've held your hands up and you've been like, I did it.
Yeah.
Are you still speaking to this girl?
Well-ish.
Oh, James!
James!
So you're cheating on train girl?
I don't know. I mean,
do you feel like you're cheating on her?
Can you cheat on someone you've never spoken to?
Good question.
Yeah, good question. But I mean, is there anything you want to say? Do you feel that you're just keeping your options open, you know?
Yeah, I mean, maybe if she paid me a bit more attention, I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's her fault, really.
I'm not sure how this is going to go for you now, James, with the public. But you haven't really done anything wrong.
No.
I'm disappointed he didn't tell the nation what was going on, though.
Yeah,
I felt like his love life had become a soap opera this week.
Well, I mean, sure, it's more EastEnders script, this, isn't it?
I guess.
So, James, even though you are kind of cheating on Train Girl...
Yeah.
When we spoke yesterday...
Kind of. I mean, really is kind
of. Yeah.
I mean, I know you're still keen on her, and you did mention yesterday that you have one last idea, one master plan. So I think it's time to break it out if you still want to see Train Girl and try and make it work.
Of course. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's very much death or glory. But I've noticed that she does occasionally speak to some other guy on the train.
Okay.
I could approach him to try and find out a bit more about her.
Interesting. So you think he's a couple of stages ahead of you in that he may have a number or Facebook friends or something like that?
He's established contact, So there's a good chance that might happen, yeah.
And you've seen this guy talk to the girl that you like on the train?
Yes.
So do you think he's a love rival?
Well, I think they could just be friends.
Hmm.
Oh, so if they're friends, then he's very likely to have contact details for her.
Yeah, quite possibly.
And then he just puts in a good word for you?
Yeah.
Oh, I like this. But it's a dicey one, isn't it? Because either you introduce yourself to this bloke and through the bloke get in contact with Train Girl, or you've just introduced yourself to your major rival and the game is up.
Yeah, absolutely.
As you said, death or glory.
Desperate times.
It's a huge move.
Yeah.
And when will you be doing this, potentially?
Potentially this evening. He's on the train.
I might give you a call.
Yeah. Okay, right, so let's go with this, I think. I mean, you've got nothing to lose at this stage. So tonight you introduce yourself to the guy. He could be a friend. He could be a rival in love.
Yeah.
It's a gutsy move. Okay, James, we'll hear from you tomorrow on the show to get an update, all right?
All right, marvellous.
Stay strong.
Thanks.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily. Don't think any of us were expecting that slight curveball, were we?
I don't know how we go about the reaction to this. Hundreds of texts, hundreds of tweets.
Hundreds?
And I don't really... There's so many angles to go at. I mean, what's the consensus here?
Some people say cheater. Some people say hero. and I don't know which one it is.
He's potentially cheating on a girl that doesn't even know he exists
yeah.
at the moment.
Not like really cheating.
But some people are getting angry.
Elizabeth's loving it because all the people in her dentist waiting room are absolutely wetting themselves on the latest instalment. And sometimes they can be a bit dry, dentist waiting room, so it's cheered them up with the magazines that are like 5 years old. So it's sort of provided a bit of entertainment for them.
Elizabeth goes, it's a disgrace. Cheat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's strong, but...
If he's bold enough to introduce him to the possible rival, why can't he go straight and talk to Train Girl instead? People are investing so much thought, time and energy into this.
Well, that's an interesting one. That's because Train Girl isn't on the train anymore. Only this guy. He's seen this guy. So, you know, there's a potential in.
Yeah.
He can't talk to Train Girl anymore because Train Girl's gone. Well, she's not appearing. For now, she may well appear tonight.
I'm hoping that she appears tonight. And he's not even, I've had some eye contact with this girl, but he's not even really met her or talked to her, so not really cheating. And what's a little kiss at the Christmas party? And maybe he's still in touch with that girl as well.
Someone's texting saying, we all make mistakes.
Yeah. Leave him be, we all make mistakes. The Scott Mills Daily. That was Greg Lake and I Believe in Father Christmas on BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills here.
Just let one out there at the end. You were quite late to the brass on that one. These Christmas songs, some of them have amazing brass and you're just slow.
Do you know what it is? I'm not feeling the best today. I'm not on my game. I'm not in my A game right now, so sorry for the late horn.
You've actually got a red nose on you.
Yeah, hilarious.
As well.
Like Rudolph, yeah.
But like, no, I'm saying you do look quite ill.
Thank you. I'll just soldier on. I've got Royal Blood coming up. Man up, Mills. So what's this turkey hotline that you found?
So I heard about this and couldn't believe this was a thing. There's a turkey hotline you can call. What baffles me about this, and what I don't seem to be able to understand, is why anyone would call a turkey hotline. Why there's a demand for it?
What happens when you call?
I don't know. It's over the Christmas period. I think the idea is you get some kind of advice. But
I suppose that a lot of people will have questions about cooking them because there'll be loads of people that, because it's Christmas, have never cooked a turkey before in their lives, and then suddenly you've got to cook one for like 10 people, and that's quite stress.
I get that, but the idea of a hotline where there's people sitting around,
yeah, I like
waiting for calls, it seems odd to me that there's a group of people somewhere right now waiting for calls about turkeys.
I do really enjoy it. I hope that there's like a whole bank of them just sat there waiting for their latest turkey call.
And I respect them. No, that's not me knocking it. I just don't quite understand the why you would call a turkey hotline anyway.
So how do you want to play this?
Right, so I heard about this turkey hotline and I thought, brilliant, we'll have a little bit of fun with this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write down on a piece of paper a problem. Okay,
what, now that I've got?
Yeah, I want you to ring the turkey hotline.
Oh, good.
Okay, and they'll say, hello, turkey hotline, what's your problem?
Turkey-related problem?
At that point, I'm going to hand you a piece of paper, okay, with the problem on. So you won't know what the problem is until you see it in front of you and you're on the phone.
All right, OK, so I wait until I get connected to whoever it is on the end of the Turkey hotline.
Yep.
Then you pass me the piece of paper.
Yes, and I just want you to react. You've just got to go with it.
OK.
OK?
I just wing it then, do I?
Yeah, good pun. OK?
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm going to come behind you, OK?
Stress. Okay.
The number's all ready to go. I'm going to stand behind you. I'm going to hand the problem to you, and you just react, okay?
Okay.
Turkey hotline.
So I'll open the piece of paper with the whatever the problem is that you've decided.
Yeah.
Come on then, come around. Thank you.
All right, no, not yet.
No. Okay, I'll wait till I'm connected.
Good afternoon, British Turkey.
Hello, is this the Turkey hotline?
It is, yes. How can I help?
Yes, I'm having a bit of a problem Turkey-related at the moment.
Okay.
I'm actually stuck in my turkey.
You're what, sorry?
I'm stuck in it.
You're stuck in it?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
I know. Can you advise?
Dare I ask which part of you?
It's just my my arm.
Your arm. Okay, good. I'm glad you said that. Nothing else.
I don't know what you
Right, you're stuck. Okay. Have you got any butter or some washing up? You don't want to use washing up liquid, do you?
Not really, no, because then I can't eat it.
No, you need something greasy.
What would you suggest?
Well, if you've got any butter to hand, some sort of, you know, soft butter would probably help, you know, shift your arm, but...
Okay, right, well, here's the thing. I'm going to actually have to move over to the fridge now, but obviously I'm going to take the turkey with me because my arm's up it. So give me a sec. Hang on, this could take some time. Wait there. Oof, that was hard. I've only got cheese.
Do you know what? I've never had a call quite like this before. You've only got cheese.
Anything else?
You need... I can't think of anything. No, sort of lard or... You need something greasy.
Lard? Oh.
Yeah.
They
have lard, do they?
Not really anymore, no. Seeing as I don't really... I'm not here very much. I'm a very busy professional, so I don't really... I'm not, like, home very often. So there's not really much in my fridge to choose from. Is there anything else you can think of?
The only thing I could think of is if you know, try and, you know, make your arm damp. So maybe just put your arm over the sink. But, you know, we don't normally advise getting your turkey wet because of spreading bacteria.
I don't want to do that.
So you need to be careful.
Is there anything you can suggest while I'm up here?
To suggest?
Yeah, I don't know. Because if I'm not getting out, I might as well do something with my time.
I guess, have you taken the giblets out? Can you feel the giblets?
What's the giblets?
Oh, most turkeys have a bag of giblets, which are usually like the turkey neck and the liver.
Oh,
and,
hang on. No, I think I can feel them.
Yeah.
No, oh, they're still in. Hang on to them.
Well, you'll need to take them out when you can get your arm loose. You're going to have to wiggle it, I think.
Wiggle the giblets.
Well, no, wiggle your arm.
Oh.
Can you twist your arm? I can't believe you got your arm in that far.
I know. Let me try and twist. Hang on. It's very limited movement.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Should
I go and see if any of my neighbours are in or anything?
Well, if someone can pull one end of the turkey and sort of wrench it off, otherwise I think you might have to call the fire brigade.
Well, there's a thing. I don't really know her that well at number two. And if I turn up with a turkey on my arm as I ring the doorbell, I mean, luckily I've got one hand free. My left hand is free.
Well, you could try. I think I'm sure she'd help you.
It just looks odd, you know.
Well, you'll have to say, you know, you were trying to stuff it or something.
Has this never happened on a call before?
Not to me, no. I mean, there's a few of us here. I don't think anyone else has mentioned that.
Mm.
I mean, if you got your arm in, surely you must be able to get it out.
No one's ever got stuck in a turkey before, no?
No. Perhaps try your neighbour then and just, you know, get her to hold one end of it while you kind of sort of wriggle out, I suppose.
Okay, I'll do that then.
Yeah, I may maybe sort of
unclench, if your fist is clenched, sort of unclench it. So, you know, you've got, because it's quite a small hole to come out of, so you want to make sure that, you know, you're streamlined, so to speak.
So, well, good advice. So not clench, no?
No.
Okay.
So you can let go of the giblets.
Right. And, okay, so I don't grab the giblets.
No, just leave those, keep my hand free. Yeah, get someone with a small hand to get those out for you.
All right, well, that's fantastic. I'll try that and I'll let you know how I go.
Okay, good luck.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, God.
Epic length.
Was that all right?
Well done, Mills. That was brilliant.
I mean,
brilliant.
Obviously, I didn't know what the situation was going to be, so I wrapped the paper. I didn't expect it to be. I was stuck in it.
No.
But I hope that was okay for you.
Great use of my left hand is free.
But my right hand.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
I'd quite like to call the Turkey Hotline maybe again tomorrow, actually, with another dilemma. Maybe you could do one this time and I'll write it down for you.
Maybe. Good game, though.
I really enjoyed it, actually, yeah.
Ah, you did so well.
Just and she was...
incredible length on it.
But also, wasn't she, like, really helpful?
Mm.
Despite having never heard that problem before, she was willing to do anything to help. I absolutely loved her.
Mm.
More of this, please, says Michael in Lincoln. Okay, I need to think of one for you tomorrow, then.
Also felt I learned something about turkeys as well throughout that call. I felt like I was learning as well.
For instance?
Something about bacteria and water.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Something about that.
Don't get it wet. Don't get your turkey wet, love.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
This is Scott Mills, and here's Greg James.
Whee!
Lads.
Nice to see you sober.
Hello, Greg.
Hello.
Don't come too close, Greg. I've got man flu.
Oh, have you? Yeah. That's why you got your coat on.
Yes, I feel very cold and then suddenly hot.
I thought it was just that you were ready to leave.
No, it's not like that.
Like Mark Goodyear back in the day.
Oh. How was your...
You can't hear Mark Goodyear.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Lol.
You're right. Sorry. It's just the cold and flu drugs talking, yeah?
Cold and who? You've got a strong... You've got man who.
Yeah, I have, actually.
That's what you've got.
How was your actual birthday, please?
It was actually really good, thanks.
Good.
Yeah, really good. It sort of... It started at the Radio Christmas party and then didn't stop.
To the and, hotel lobby.
So the bow tie is spinning today.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, we are fine. We are firing on the cylinder.
Are you going to be, and I want to talk about this maybe on the show tomorrow, are you going to be overcompensating today? Because I've noticed that a lot of people did that here after the Christmas
party. Oh, I did it yesterday. There's been 2 days of it, but I think it's fine.
No, you're rocking it. It's good.
We are professionals.
We know what we're doing.
We're absolutely professional.
Let's play Real or No Real with Greg James.
Yes.
Here's your first one.
As a child, Beyoncé would charge visitors to her parents' house $5 each to watch her perform.
Mm-hmm.
Not stupid. From an early age, not stupid.
No.
So everyone comes around to the Knowleses, and it's $5 on the door from Beyoncé. She's then, like, you better give me $5, y'all.
But then loads of people...
$5.
I hate things like this. Whenever I see documentaries about pop stars, like, I knew she was going to be big from a young age because she used to do performances in front of the family. I think we've all done that.
Well, that's it. But the thing is...
It just happens Beyoncé did it.
Well, everyone does it in the hope... So they film it and everyone in the hope that one day they can go, wow, she did her first performance in the living room.
Yeah.
What did you perform, Chris, when you were that age?
Do you want to be honest? Yeah. I remember once performing Grease to my family.
Well,
what, just you on your own there?
I did one of them, yeah. Weird, I've admitted that, actually.
I mean, the silence spoke volumes there.
But he's not gay.
I thought everyone would join in. I thought everyone would join in with that. But
I remember doing a really elaborate version with all my cousins a version of Bon Jovi Lived on a Prayer.
Oh, wow.
And we all had tennis rackets as guitars.
I used to just pretend to be a newsreader.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you wear a little suit?
No, not a suit, but I just had a box and that was my news desk.
Oh, so you always wanted to be a newsreader, did you?
News desk.
So when you hear the news on Radio 1, do you kind of feel a bit jealous? Do you feel that could have been me?
Yeah, I mean, I want to be Tina Dehealy.
Yes.
No, after the news phase, then I went on to just being DJ. Pretending to be on Radio 1 in my bedroom.
So what would you do? Would you put your mum in the living room and you'd sort of do a radio show to
her? My mum would be in the kitchen doing my dinner and I'd be doing a show on Radio 1 every day.
Yeah.
Like, and it happened every day after school. And now look. At five, Scott Mills was pretending to be a DJ on Radio 1 because I'm not Beyonce.
Yeah.
But was she charging visitors her parents' house early days?
Real or no real?
Overcharging.
Overcharging.
Even at that age. So I'm going to say real.
He's always been a rip-off merchant.
Oh, blimey.
I think that's probably real. That's real.
That one is real.
Yay!
Yeah, Beyoncé's music career began when she won a talent competition at the age of 7, and she quickly decided to make her talent into a business venture. She's got a lot of pocket money back then, but I'd like to say that tickets for her tour, in my opinion, are very reasonably priced.
Yeah, I'd also like to reiterate, for legal reasons, I think she's very reasonably priced.
Same.
Star.
Yeah. And next.
Each year, Lord Alan Sugar goes for a Christmas lunch with Karen and Nick, and, as a bit of fun, they each pitch reasons for who should pay the bill.
I like that. Like, for a bit of fun. Yeah, imagine that, the Lord Sugar Christmas party.
Have you got an apprentice person on today?
Yes, we do. If you watched last night's episode, it's pretty, yeah, pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good today. I'm not going to reveal.
I don't want to give any details.
Who, how many, you know, it's a good one. Yeah, 4:30 they'll be on.
I like it that they're getting rid of more than one this year.
Oh. Thanks, mate.
No, I don't mean tomorrow. I don't know what happened last night. I didn't see it, but I know that there have been double firings.
Greg moved around that.
Double firings before. Like... No, honestly, I don't know.
No,
I don't
it's
know.
Fine. After 4:30 today, okay. Fired. Sure. Candidate.
Anyway, so do Karen and Nick and Sugar all go for a bit of a Christmas lunch and they just pitch reasons for who should pay the bill?
It's a lovely idea. I'm going to say real on this one.
It's not a lovely idea. It sounds awful.
No, it'd be great.
No, but it's that's not... I think that's his idea of fun.
I love Karen so much.
She's very, very catty, this series.
I love her, though.
She goes, well, that's not what you told me earlier, Dan. You said that Bianca was rubbish, in your words. And he sat there going, shut up.
I know, she's been brilliant.
Stop being a snitch.
And I really like it when she's like all power and wears the sunglasses and that. Oh,
it's very sassy.
What a woman.
I still really like your idea of a festive apprentice where they have to get some gold, frankincense and myrrh.
Yeah.
And Lord Sugar demanding myrrh.
Go get some myrrh.
Have you seen the little kids' apprentice today? There's a thing on, I think it's on the Apprentice YouTube. It's kids in a primary school. And they've recreated some of the best bits of the series.
Oh,
it's genuinely brilliant.
So do Alan, Karen and Nick go for a little Christmas lunch and have a little joke about who should pay the bill, real or no real? Great, James.
Sounds like a sugar lol, definitely.
Real.
That one is no real.
Oh.
What about your next Christmas-related real or no real fact?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was created in 1939 as a promotion for an American department store.
No, not another one of these.
What?
It's just for American
things. No, this is like when I found out that Chris Brown song was about bubble gum.
Chewing gum, yeah.
Chewing gum.
Which one? Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
What?
Whole song about chewing gum.
No.
Yeah. It was, you know, Forever?
Yeah, yeah.
That was for Double Mint chewing gum.
Double the pleasure, double the fun.
Does it last forever?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But he sings...
Are you joking?
No. He said in the original, it's a bit like I'm Loving It off of Justin Timberlake for McDonald's, but released as a single. Yeah, he sings in the chewing gum version, double mint pleasure, double mint fun.
Fact. Horrible.
So Rudolph the
what a sellout.
I know. Oh. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, created in 1939 for an American department store. That's where he originally came from, real or no real.
But song as well. I mean, the idea that they've done the song as well would annoy me.
I'm singing the lyrics. For the
no real. No real.
You'll go down in history. No. No real.
That one is real.
No! What?
That's not good.
You know Santa turned red because of Coca-Cola?
Yes.
You know that one?
Oh, I think.
Santa wasn't originally red, but it was for a Coca-Cola campaign. That's why he's red now.
Oh.
Can you shut up?
That's true.
No.
But as well as Santa going red because of that, Rudolph is also a creation of advert makers for an American department store.
The song, I'm sure.
Christmas ruined. And finally,
carol singing dates back to Roman times, when it was done in the nude.
Pardon?
Sorry. In the nude. Could you repeat that, please?
Carol singing dates back to Roman times, when it was done in the nude.
That wouldn't be a good thing to do now.
No way.
Door to door, carol singing, nude.
No. In my experience, if you turn up at someone's house naked, they will slam the door and then call the police.
Really?
No.
Is that a quote?
Just a bit of insight. Sorry. Are we still on?
Yeah, we're on.
I forgot we were on the radio.
Still actually on, yeah.
Yeah, don't turn up to people's houses naked, unannounced.
Would they have done it then? No, I'm sure a toga would have been involved. So I'm going to say no real.
Toga?
A toga?
Yeah.
What? Why a toga?
That would have been the dress of
the Romans.
The Romans do as the Romans do, toga. So it would have that would. I so I'm going to say no real.
Well, that would have been the dress of the Romans. I think that's probably real. Back in the day,
that one is real.
Yes.
Right. Oh,
a little bit freer back then.
A Greek historian reports that during the Roman winter festival, it was tradition for people to go door to door singing songs without no clothes. And at the end of that round of real or no real.
Oh, I've lost. I've got 10. Greg got 20.
Yes.
Got no fans.
You've got no fans.
Got no fans.
Miranda's on today.
Yes, she is. Yeah, I'm sorry, I just got distracted by the Wheelstone Raider.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Miranda, Miranda Hart.
Yeah, Miranda Hart will be on at 5:10 today. And then films with Rihanna and The Apprentice fired. Peoples.
And they are on, whoever they are, at 4:30. The Scott Mills Daily. Join us for the last afternoon show of 2014 tomorrow from 1 o'clock on Radio 1, or get this podcast. Next week from Monday morning, we're on The Breakfast Show. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.